Hello, beloved. This is Pastor Steve Castle. I'm so honored that you've chosen to listen to us today. If there's any additional information that you need, please visit our website at www.belovedchurchillinois.com. We thank you that you are continuing to give God an opportunity to minister to your hearts. He has amazing, wonderful plans for your life. We would love to join you on the journey of you finding out the depths of the relationship that you could have with Him. You were created in His image for a beautiful purpose, and He wants to show you that purpose. We continue to believe God with you and for you to accomplish that goal. If you're in the area, please stop by. Remember, at Beloved Church, this is the place where you are greatly loved. God bless you. Talk to you soon. Bye. Somebody did things to them that probably go beyond description, and so they equated the church that did that with God. And so when they rejected one, they rejected both. We're not that church. Amen? Amen. Nobody's stuck anybody in the background here that I'm aware of. And if they have, then we're going to have a conference afterwards. It's not the church we are. We're a church of love. We're a church of family. We're a church of grace. We're a church of mercy. Amen. That doesn't mean we're a church of perfection. Amen. You know, if God is a God of mercy, what by default does that mean that we are? People of mistakes. Amen, right? In order for Him to be a God of mercy, that means He has to have something to have mercy on. If somebody's perfect, if they're without fault, without any kind of problems whatsoever, then there would never have to be a time for mercy. So if we have a God that's a God of mercy, that means we make mistakes all the time, and God is a God of mercy. He covers those mistakes. So if He's a God of mercy, and we are born of Him, and He's our Father, and His Spirit lives in us, then we should be a people of mercy, which means that we are going to expect other people to make mistakes. Expect it. Don't prophesy it. Expect it. And when they do, now you have an opportunity to exercise your mercy. Amen? And when they curse you, you bless them. And when they despitefully use you, you pray for them. And then people will recognize that you are the children of a merciful God. Then they will want to be a part of your church. They will want to be a part of your life. They will want to be the friends that want to get close to you for the reason of giving and receiving and not for jabbing stuff in your ribs. Amen? So we've been building up to that. Last week we talked about the supernatural power of God and had an enjoyable time doing it. Praise God. Teresa said she was about to get on the floor or jump around or do something. She was yelping and moving and screaming. And I said, Teresa, did you just yell? Did you fuss at Amaziah? Because Amaziah was like fussing behind her. She's like, Amaziah who? I said, Alex's baby. She says, I didn't even know there was a baby in the room. I was so under the power of God. And I'm like, okay, well, good to know. You know, we need to understand the supernatural power of our supernatural God. People have been offering a God of platitudes for thousands of years, and it's real easy to reject that God. Amen? So this week we're going to talk about putting that supernatural power into action. So before we do that, I want everybody to find somebody you don't know or you don't know very well and find out something about them, maybe something kooky, and then tell me. No, don't do that. Just keep it to yourself. But I want you to greet somebody. I want you to love on somebody. I want you to show somebody mercy. Find somebody who you think may have had something happen to them this week that they need mercy for and go bless them. Go prophesy over them. Release the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. Praise God. Go. You're released.
I talked about willing to stand up and declare to you that either the gospel that we preach is a gospel of sign, wonders, and miracles, or you can reject it. If our message is not confirmed with the Holy Spirit, with the power of God, then you have the right to reject it. Paul says, unless you preach this gospel, every other gospel, the people that preach it, if it's an angel or a messenger from heaven, let them be accursed. Let them be accursed. And they're talking about absolute, complete separation from God in hell. That's how determined Paul was that the gospel that he preaches is the gospel, the good news. There's one message of good news. His name is Jesus Christ. And he confirms those that preach about him. Amen? Amen. That's really important that you get that. That would potentially knock a bunch of churches and a bunch of erroneous ministries out of the water if they did not believe. You know, we have entire denominations that have said that basically God is dead because he's not alive today. He's not doing anything today. He used to do stuff back in the day, and it was really cool, and you can read about it, but he hadn't done stuff in 2,000 years. And we're just believing in a God that we can't see that actually doesn't. You know, how do you know that someone's alive? You see them. They move. They show up. You know, if you read the paper on Monday morning, it said Pastor Steve Castle in Pearl City, Illinois, died tragically after the Winter Jam Festival. Coming home, he was slain by his wife for talking smack. And you read this story, and I'm sure everybody in here would weep for days and days and days and days. And then you showed up Saturday night and you came to church and I walked in. What's the truth about my death? You got a couple of things you got to work out. Either A, I was raised from the dead, or B, it was a lie. If Jesus Christ is alive today, he should be walking into places. Amen now, come on. When Jesus shows up at a place, things happen. Shows up at a wedding, they got more wine than they can drink. Shows up at the seashore, Peter's getting more fish than he can put in a boat. Shows up with the sick, they get more healing than they can contain. Shows up with the woman caught in the act of adultery and shoos away every single condemner. When Jesus Christ shows up somewhere, things happen. He's a supernatural God. He confirms himself supernaturally. And I am not in any way at all making light of the salvation experience. But beloved, that is just the tip of the iceberg of the supernatural that God wants to manifest in your life. We live in a fallen world. There are horrible, horrible things that take place every second of every day, everywhere. And for God to leave us down here powerless, impotent, and without relief would literally be mean. And God is not mean. God is a good God. You are in the world, but you are not of the world. Behold, I have overcome the world. And then he said, go ye in my name, in my nature, my character, my authority, my power into all the world. We should have a gospel that's confirmed. We have seen the dead raised. We have seen the blind healed. We have seen deaf ears opened up. We have seen demons come out of people. We have seen all these things at Beloved Church, and we're just getting going. Amen. Whatever you need, God has access, ability, and desire to manifest that in your life. And we need to stop putting God in a little tiny bitty box. And you wouldn't say God is dead, but you would also not say that God is big, strong, powerful, and for you. And if it's not true, then we are not declaring the true gospel. Because the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is that he is available to you in the same way that he was available in his physical body, only better because now he's in a spirit form and he's not contained in a physical body. Jesus said, it's better for you if I go away, because if I go away, I'll send the Comforter. Jesus said, the Comforter with you is better than him with you. I mean, there's probably 80 people in this county that actually believe that scripture. Amen. And half of them are in here. If you really believe that, your relationship with the Holy Spirit would be off the charts. If I came up to you and I said, which would you rather have? Would you have rather have Jesus Christ, God Almighty, come in and sit down at your dinner table, or would you rather be filled with the Spirit? There are just very few people that would say, I would absolutely rather have be filled with the Spirit. And Jesus said, that's a truth. It's expedient. He said, it's better for you, John chapter 16. It's better for you that I go away, because if I go not away, I can't send the Comforter. But if I go away, I'll send the Comforter. He went away, right? But he came back. His name is the Spirit of Christ. And he lives and moves and has his being in us. Amen? All right, so you get what you teach. So I am teaching about the gospel that is manifests itself tangibly, because God is a living, breathing God. He walks in. He shows up. Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, it says, you go into all the world and proclaim the good news about who I am, and I will confirm the word with signs following. God loves to do that. You know, we don't have to beg him or pull a chain or do something special to get him to confirm his word. He wants to confirm his word. It's his word. Amen. That's good. Amen. Good preaching, Pastor. Thank you. I am the pastor of a Spirit-filled church. I am not the Spirit-filled pastor of a church. I am the pastor of a Spirit-filled church. I am not the Spirit-filled pastor of a church. You are the Spirit-filled church. I'm your pastor. Your hands carry the kingdom of God. Your hands. Jesus told us to go in all the world and tell them that the kingdom of God is in your hand. If you have a hand in here tonight, you have the kingdom of God. Luke chapter 17 says that the kingdom of God is not in meat or drink, but it is in you. It's not visible, it's invisible, and it's in you, and it wants out. It wants out. People say, oh, heaven come down, heaven come down. Heaven came down. His name was Jesus Christ. And he wants to manifest the heavens. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I know people that can quote that don't believe that. Amen. Do you really believe that God wants his will done on this earth as it is in heaven? Amen. Come on now. Encourage me. Act like you believe it then. Do you really believe that God wants his will done in your life the same way that he could have his will done in your life in the happily hereafter? Why do you believe that? You have the earnest of the Spirit, the Bible says. You have a down payment. There's a down payment that was made to prove that that was the truth, and his name was Jesus Christ, and that payment was in blood. That's how much God wants you to know that he wants his will done in your life, even as it's being done in heaven. What would that look like? No tears in heaven. No sickness in heaven. There's no lack in heaven. I don't even probably think there's currency in heaven. What are you going to buy? Got everything you need. And if you don't need it, or if you don't have it and you need it, there's only about 1 billion angels that will be willing to go and get it. We need to start thinking outside of the restricted, suffocated view that we have about our life and about God's desire to want to minister to us. Most of us think if we just get a little dab, it'll do us. God's not a little dab will do you kind of God. God's a great big God. When he shows up, seas split and creation exalts him. It says that either we will praise him or the rocks themselves will cry out. I would have to say that God is worthy of praise if even the rocks cry out. I just read an article on the news that said that they have figured out that the stars, when they're producing energy, they're also producing sound at the same time.
There's a specific sound. There's a specific sound, and it's above the wavelength of human hearing. There's a specific sound. It's so beautiful. There's a specific sound that our praise brings to God. A specific sound. God inhabits the praises of His people. You praise Him, He lives there. There's a vibration, there's an energy that's released when you live in praise with Him. We are a Spirit-filled church, you and I. If you're not Spirit-filled, tonight can be your night. Amen. You can have a present. You can have a gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit. He wants you to be full of Him. He does not want you to leave here and go out into your world without the power of God. Here's how important it is. It's so important that God did it in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the earth. In the beginning of your life, darkness covered your life. And it says the Spirit of God was hovering over the darkness. And verse 2 says, God said, let there be light. And there was light. That means the Spirit of God was hovering over the darkness, the misery. The word for waters in the Hebrew actually means urine. The Spirit of God was hovering over the most detestable filth ever, waiting for the Word of God to be released. Waiting for the Word of God to be released. And God said, let there be light. The Spirit of God is hovering over everyone in here right now. And for many of us, He's in us. But He's waiting for us to release the Word of God into our life and circumstances for His power to manifest itself. And we want to complain about the things in our life. There's other spirits that are hovering over that. Amen. Romans chapter 8. I want to show how important it is for God to want us to understand, embrace, and encourage this wonderful way of living in the good news. This is verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Okay, now this is important. We need to make sure that we're incorporating. You are not in the flesh. How many times have you heard somebody in church especially say, well, you know, I mean, I was just in the flesh. I did that in the flesh. I had this fleshly thought. I was doing stuff in the flesh. You guys are way more holy than some of the churches I've been in, because a lot of churches, they'll come in, they'll testify about their flesh all night long. Well, my flesh made me do this. My flesh. But here is the Holy Spirit of God through the Apostle Paul telling us that we are not in the flesh. Why do we testify about the flesh? You ever wonder about that? It's real easy to walk up to somebody and just tell them all the problems and messes and failures in your life. I dare you, double dog dare you, walk up to somebody and tell them about the prophecies that are about your life. You know, God told me I'm going to be preaching in front of thousands, that lives are going to be changed. I've already seen seas of people that I'm going to minister to, and there's going to be people that are going to be prostrate, on their face, worshiping God, and having an experience with God that they've never had in their life. I've already seen it. Seas of people. You walk up and talk about things that God wants to do in your life. Walk up and talk about the destiny, the intricate creation, the gifts, the talents, and the abilities that are in your life that aren't in anybody else's life. You can only do that out of the flesh. You can only do that if you're in the Spirit. Because if you're in your flesh, you're going to say, I've got a zit, I'm broke, my car don't run right, and I need a better spouse. In the flesh, you know you're right. You're probably right. You're probably right. But we're not in the flesh. So that would be a lie. If you're not in the flesh, that means that the spouse that God gave you is the one, and you're one flesh. That means that the car that God gave you is waiting for you to have the Spirit of God released when you release a blessing over that car. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. I bless all my cars. Amen. I ain't never been stranded one time. Amen. Y'all think I'm kooky. I think you're kooky. You want to be stranded in your car? Don't bless it. That's fine. Don't let your neighbor see you do it either. Amen. Some of y'all are going to call me, come bail you out when you're stranded in my car that always runs. Praise Jesus. Amen. One time I was coming home from Lanark and my alternator went out. And as some of you know, in a fuel-injected vehicle, when your alternator goes out, you got about 60 seconds of praying in tongues before you're on the side of the road. So my alternator went out halfway between there and Lanark. And I seen the battery going. And I'd shut the lights off in the middle of the night, midnight. Y'all don't. You might have to edit this out of the CD. Shut the lights off, going down 73 in the middle of the night, praying in tongues. I went 8 miles with no juice, no nothing. Battery was flat, dead. Everything, got all the way home, shut the thing off. And when I turned the key, it wasn't even a light on the dash. That truck got home in the Holy Spirit, period. I don't know if angels were pushing it or I don't know what. I was going downhill, I don't know what. But we have the opportunity to release the Spirit of God in our life, in our circumstances. But most of us are in the flesh. You know what most people would do if their alternator went out 8 miles from home? They'd say, "Oh God!" And they wouldn't be talking to the right God. And then you'd be on the side of the road and you'd call me. And I'd come give you a lift. Or you can bless your vehicles. You know, bless your vehicles. God gave them to you. Instead of talking bad about it, why don't you bless it? This good old car, what are you looking at? This good old car, it looked like a hunk of junk to me. Bite your tongue, heathen. This is a good car. This is a blessing. God gave me this car. It's going to get me from here to there. Okay, excuse me. Bless my wife. Man, are you looking at your wife? I sure am. Bless her. You better hold your tongue on that one for real. I got a bat with your name on it. Man, I know what your wife does. I know what your wife says. I'm blessing my wife. You know, it says that Sarai, in faith, called her husband Lord. In faith. You know what that means? Abraham was a scoundrel. You don't believe me? You know, Abraham tried to pawn his wife off twice into another person's harem? How would that make your wife feel? Yeah, well, she's my sister. You can do whatever you want to with her, King. Honey, I'll come get you later. No, you won't. The Bible says that Sarai chose to, in faith, called him Lord, which just was like a really very honorable way of speaking to her husband. He was a dirty, rotten scoundrel. Twice he tried to pawn her off. You know, once you'd be like, well, you know, give the guy some grace. I mean, unless you're the wife, then you'd be like, what? But the second time? And then she chose in faith to call him Lord? We need to stop looking at things based upon face value. That would be flesh. There are a whole lot of things that are going that are a lot bigger than what we got going on. And we need to give the Spirit of God the opportunity to release those things. Amen? But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. If there is a condition. Amen. It's an easy one. Because God wants to have His Spirit living in every single person. I can prove that in Scriptures. I don't have the time. I don't want to get off track. But if it so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, then you're not in the flesh. You know, you're actually operating contrary to your nature, your born-again nature, by talking about, encouraging, empowering the dead part. It's actually anti-Christ. Amen. I thought that'd go over better than that. Anyway, moving right along. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So when you have the Spirit, You either get His Spirit. It's not a Spirit of Christ. You have not a Spirit of Christ. It's the Spirit of Christ, which means the Spirit that enabled Christ. You know, Jesus didn't do a single miracle until He was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Not one. Now, you can argue semantics and you can say, well, He could, but He chose not to, or He couldn't. It doesn't matter. Either way, He didn't. And I would think that He showed us the example, which means that if you want the supernatural power of God in your life, you need to be able to, be willing to, and know how to release the Spirit of Christ from you. Oh, this is important. All right, next verse. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. The body that He's referring to, if you go back to Romans 6:6, it's the body of sin. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Serve means slave. That's Romans 6:6. The body of sin has been destroyed. Oh, dear Jesus. Y'all ain't catching this one. This will make a Presbyterian shout. The body of sin has been destroyed. Oh, Lord. How many people live from the body of sin? And Jesus destroyed it at the cross. You don't have to sin. I am not going to re-preach that sermon. It was a good one, though. You don't have to sin. There is nothing in you that compels you to sin. Except for your belief system that says, I'm a sinner. So what do? Change your belief system. God's already changed the reality. Because the body of sin... Sin is missing the mark. You know, most of us don't really understand what sin is. Sin is not going out and doing bad stuff, even though that is sin, but that's not the point of what sin was. Sin was you doing, thinking, or behaving in any way that does not advance what you were created and who you were created to be. Your divine destiny. Each of you were created for a specific purpose that takes the supernatural empowerment of God to fulfill. So sin is you operating outside of allowing the supernatural forces of God to take you to your divine destiny. Your divine destiny. Not just any destiny. Not just some random point in the future. But your divine destiny. What you are created for. By God. God doesn't make losers. He doesn't make mundane. He doesn't make normal. God is not a see God. God is an excellent God. He made you in excellence. He says, behold the works of my hand. They go beyond description. The psalmist says he can look up at the stars and say, man, what majesty of God just looking at the stars. And don't you know, we are way more important than a billion stars. He never died for a star. He died for you. You're the star. There's a divine romance that came through all of time to bring you into your divine destiny. And it's going to take divinity to get you there. Open the door. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. You were created for incredible purposes. And sin is any behavior, thought, or belief system that takes you away from what you were created to be. This is why many are sick. This is why many people have to take chemicals for their brains, because you're not living what you were created to be, and so your body is trying to make up for the loss of you not being in your destiny. And it manifests in depression, in strife, in grief, in sickness and disease. These are manifestations of people being outside of living in their divine destiny. And it's killing you. Slowly, it's killing you. And it aches God's heart because He died so you could live, not die. You were created for an amazing purpose. And anything that could take you off track from being that person was destroyed. He destroyed the body of sin. God's done all the work. It says labor that you might enter into His rest. Hebrews chapter 4. We're supposed to labor to get into His rest. What does that mean? That means you're supposed to fight off the thoughts, the ideas, the principles, the belief systems that are working contrary to the cross in your life. That's your labor. And when you win those battles, you are in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee because I trust in Thee. Isaiah 26. You don't get there without the supernatural power of God. So if it be that the Spirit of God is in you, the Spirit of Christ is in you, then you are His. And your flesh, your sinful nature has been dealt with at the cross. Praise You, Jesus. Thank You so much, Jesus. Thank You so much, Jesus. How many people are still trying to wrestle with their sinful nature? Quit wrestling with the dead person. It's ridiculous. He's been destroyed. He's dead. Quit jerking him back out of the coffin and trying to stand him up on the wall. This isn't Bernie's day off. Leave a dead guy dead. Resurrecting the wrong people. Praise Jesus. And if Christ be in you, the body of sin, is dead because of sin. Because of sin. The reason that it's dead is because of sin. Because Jesus came and one time atoned for all of sin, for all of mankind. And that's in Hebrews chapter 9, three places, and Hebrews chapter 10, two places. And I don't have time to go into that. I wish I could. Praise God. That's a good sermon too. But Jesus, because of sin, He had to make sure that every single obstacle was removed from us. Otherwise, His salvation would not be a completed salvation. And His death would have been in vain. If He died for sins and you are still sinful, then He did not satisfy the payment for sin. Does that make sense? If you are still a sinful person, if you're still a sinful creation and you've been recreated, 2 Corinthians 5:17 and 19 and 21. Oh, praise God. How many sermons am I going to preach tonight? If you've been recreated in the image of God, the image and the nature of God, and all things have become new, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. All things become new. That means that the sinful person has been dealt with, and God was satisfied with the offering of the one sacrifice for all of sin, for all of mankind, for all time. One sin. We do not have to go in every week and do another sin sacrifice. You don't have to come and kill a sheep every year. Why? Because Jesus was the Lamb of God. So one sacrifice for all sin for all time was done. So sin has been dealt with. God dealt with it. And He dealt with it very harshly. If you don't know how Jesus died, hang on. We're going to learn. But Jesus died a horrible death so that you could live an amazing life. And either God accepted the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, or He's a murderer. And Jesus Christ didn't do enough. And we are yet in our sins. God accepted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He verified that acceptance of the sacrifice by the resurrection of the dead. That's why Jesus was raised from the dead, so that God could verify to all of humankind that the offering was accepted, and now He has glorified the offering. And then we receive of His glory we have all received. John chapter 1. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. I don't understand. Here's the two things that the church today deals with. They call you a sinner, dirty, rotten, filthy sinner, and you need to kind of deal with your sin like you know how to, or you have the ability to, number one. And number two, you're unrighteous. The two greatest weapons that you have to live a supernatural life, the church has done a great job of taking from all of church people. So if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. Because of sin, Jesus killed the sin. So then if the Spirit is in you, then the Spirit is life. Why? Because of righteousness. He's referring back to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, I think, is verse 18. Yeah, 6:18. Being then free from sin, you became the servants or slaves of righteousness. Amen. It's a good thing to be a slave to. Amen. I just can't, no matter what I do, I end up in righteousness. I'm in slavery. I'm in bondage to righteousness. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Make the chains big, Lord. Keep me bound to righteousness. You can't break those chains. Praise God. Amen. Went to church and learned out I was in bondage. Praise Jesus. You're in bondage to righteousness. You can't get out of it. No matter what you do, no matter what you think, no matter how you act, you are in bondage to righteousness. Because the Spirit of Christ is in you, and that righteousness is what's producing your life. Just because you want to act contrary to your divine destiny in sin doesn't mean that God is going to remove the life force that comes through His righteousness. Where sin does abound, grace does much more abound. When you're losing it, when you're having problems, when you're having issues, that's when God applies more life, more righteousness, more grace, more mercy. So if you've stumbled in here tonight and your life's a total wreck, guess what? You're the best person in the room. Congratulations. Praise God. You're better than me. Amen. You trump me. Trump the preacher. Praise God. That's a good way to live. So if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Whose righteousness? Yours? Your righteousness is as filthy rags. His righteousness. That's better because your righteousness stunk anyway. Your best righteousness didn't compare to His unrighteousness. So He gave you the best. Didn't He give you the best Spirit? It's the Spirit of Christ. Didn't He give you the best salvation through the best blood? Isn't He the best daddy? Well, then why would you get a different kind of righteousness? You get His righteousness. Amen. Somebody needs to flip you all a switch. All right, Romans 8:11. So if the Spirit of Him that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, this Spirit who brings righteousness and life, if the Spirit of Him that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in your mortal body, amen. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, make alive, exuberate, electrify your mortal body. Amen. Can anybody use a jot? His name is Jesus. His Spirit is in you. If, again, it's conditional. If the Spirit of Him, the Spirit of Christ, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, how strong is your spirit? He raised Jesus from the dead. I think He can handle your problems. That was the biggest problem that Jesus had. Amen? The biggest problem that God Almighty has ever had since all of mankind, since all of existence, since all of time, was the fact that the Savior of the world was dead. And the Spirit that lives in you was the solution to the biggest problem of all of mankind ever. I think whatever's going on in your life is covered. If the Spirit live in you. If He that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead shall also quicken, He shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you, lives, abides, makes His home, doesn't leave. His address, if you want to write the Holy Spirit an address or a letter, you address it to yourself. Dear Holy Spirit, inside of me. Amen. And then eat it. Right? Well, that's what God told Ezekiel, eat the scrolls, right? Eat the scrolls. Why? Because it gets closer to God. That's why you're supposed to eat the Word of God. That's why Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. Amen. Praise God. You think I'm being funny. I'm being for rizzle. This is important stuff. Amen. Don't get off on me. I'm preaching real good. All right, Romans 8:12. Here's where we need to go. Therefore, why? What therefore? The Spirit of God is in you. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The sin nature has been dealt with. You have the Spirit of Christ. He was building up to a therefore. Therefore, because of all these things, brothers, sisters, beloved, ye are debtors. Yay! Woohoo! parte, we're debtors. What? You are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. You know what? Your spirit wants to pay the debt. This is important. You are debtor. Your spirit in you is so exuberated by the gift that it's been given in freedom that it really honestly operates as if it has a deficit or a debt to fulfill. How is it going to do that? By manifesting itself in the world around it. Your spirit desires, your spirit man wants to, with every fiber of its being, it wants to pay God back for the great gift that it's been given through the Spirit of Christ that has given it life. Your spirit man wants to release. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Your spirit has a debt that it wants to pay. Not a debt like you're in bondage or you're in slavery or, you know, the debtor is servant to the lender or whatever it says in Deuteronomy 28. You have a debt in your spirit that you have towards mankind and towards God where there's actually a compulsion. We call it compassion, but there's a compulsion in you where the Spirit of God, where God Almighty Himself wants to be released through you. You are the only God that your neighbor will ever see. You are the only Jesus that your neighbor will ever see. Because God is a spirit, and those who worship Him in spirit and in truth. John 4:24. And Jesus said in John 3 that the Spirit is like a wind. You can't see it. So the only way to see the wind is to see the effects of the wind, right? How do you know if it's windy outside? You look out your window and look at the leaves. How do you know if somebody's filled with the Spirit of God? You should look at them and you should see the leaves. God wants to be released. There's a debt that's in your life that God wants to be released from. This is really, really, really important. This passion or compassion is birthed from this truth. The Spirit in you longs to be manifest in all those around you. The Spirit longs. I want to read some scriptures to prove that. In this same chapter, in Romans chapter 8, it says in verse 19, for the earnest expectation, the down payment and the expectation of the creature, and that word is creation, waits for the manifestation of the sons, the children of God. All of creation. And this is really important. All of creation is literally waiting for you. Waiting for you to do what? To manifest to them God. To manifest to them God. Because they know, even creation itself knows that the only solution for it is God. And God has covenanted together with man that the only way that He's released on this earth is through His people. That's why Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. If there was any other way to do it, Jesus would have stayed. Amen? Jesus would have just stayed on the earth and just walked around the earth in His glorified body for the next 2,000 years and just preached to everybody. The reason He didn't do that is because then it would take faith out of it. And it wouldn't be faith. You have to receive God by faith. You have to receive the promises of God, the benefits of God by faith. If you see it, there's no faith in it. How can you hope for something after you look at it? Because if you hope for something that you see, then it's no longer hope. That's in Romans chapter 8 too. Praise God. For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. Can you go to verse 20, Craig? Because that one's really good too. I'm sorry, go to 22. And this, I'll read it to you while he's going there. Verse 22 says, for we know that the whole creation groans and travails and in pain together until now. The whole creation groans and travails. You know what groaning from creation is? Earthquakes, tsunamis, El Niños or whatever else they're making up nowadays. The earth, the creation, the animals, your neighbors are groaning and travailing, hoping that there's a solution to the problem. What's the solution? Jesus Christ! Where is Jesus going to be released from? You and I! You and I! This world is begging you and pleading with you. It's crying out for the Spirit that's in you to be released into it. My truck wanted me to lay hands on it. It cried to me. Amen. Children, when they're crying out to have the Spirit of God manifest in their lives. This works for all of creation. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and ye, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. How do you release? What's the excellent way to release? I hope, after a sermon and a half, that I have proven to you that the supernatural power of God not only is available, it's in you, but it's also being begged for, being pleaded for by everyone and everything around you. I hope I've laid that foundation. It's time for us to know what we need to do to release this on purpose. Passion without compassion causes problems. If I've created passion in you and I don't give a release to that passion, it destroys you. Now I show unto you a more excellent way. Paul says that there's an excellent way, a more excellent way to release the gifts that come through the Spirit of God than what the Corinthian church was using at that time. And then he wrote a chapter to explain it. You want to know what chapter that is? Come on. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The love chapter. The more excellent way to release the gifts, the power, and the anointing of the Spirit is to know, understand, experience, and have an intimate relationship with the love of God. His name is Jesus Christ. He lived it perfectly. If you want to flow in the gifts of Spirit, you should do it the way Jesus did. Jesus loved. Jesus loved. He went past people's failures. He went past. You know that the woman that was caught in the act of adultery in John chapter 8, that was come and thrown down at his feet as a disgrace, that her sins killed Jesus. And he defended her. That's one of the reasons Jesus flowed so easily in the power of the Spirit, because he was not concerned by the negative things that were taking place around him and by the sins and the failures of the people that he was ministering to, because he knew that there was going to be one sacrifice for all sins for all time, and it was going to give them freedom from living a life that killed him. Do you believe that the love of God is manifest in your life to that degree? Because His name is Jesus. And His Spirit lives in you, or can live in you by the end of the night. The release of the Spirit of God in your life is through the love of God. 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and I have not love, it profits me nothing. I've become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You know, your life without the empowerment, without the passion of the love of God, it's just a tinkling bell. It's noise with no assistance. It's hypocritic. Verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy. Man, you know how many people desire the gift of prophecy right now? It's a really important gift. It's a really powerful gift. It sets people free. You can change nations with the gift of prophecy. And Paul said, if I had the gift of prophecy, but I did not have it with God's kind of love. You know, he says, if I understood all mysteries. You know how many people, if I came up to you and I said, which would you rather have? Would you like to know the answer to every single question you could ever want the answer to? Or would you rather have the love of God? Which one would you choose? Yeah, I built up for it. Paul says, if I understood every mystery, man, how many people I'd dare say are praying to God, please help me understand the mysteries. Please give me an answer. Give me wisdom. You know what you should be praying? Give me a revelation of your love. That's Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 3. That's what Paul told us to pray. And all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains. Oh, Paul. If he only knew how stupid he was. Because if you had enough faith to move mountains, why would you need love? You know, somebody came up and acted a fool to him, you could just roast them with the power of God. You know, and they would never act stupid again. Because you just roasted them. Right? I mean, having mountain-moving faith is way better than having love. Amen. If I had mountain-moving faith and somebody didn't love me, I'd just put a mountain on them. Go find me somebody else, and they better love me now because I put a mountain on the last one, right? Paul says, I would rather experience, live in, and express love than move mountains. You know what that made Paul capable of doing? Moving mountains. You know, if you get one, you get both. You understand the love of God to the degree that Jesus Christ understood it, and he said, you could say into this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up and be thou planted in the sea, and it would listen to you. A tree would listen to you. A tree. Jesus is crazy talking to trees. You know, he talked to a fig tree one time, and it said the tree answered him. Amen. Creation is talking to you. And it's asking you for the Spirit of God. And I have knowledge and I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and I have not charity. I have nothing. I am nothing. Paul says if I don't have love, do you understand? He said if he understood every mystery, if he could move mountains, if he could do all of these, I mean, you know, if I walked in here and I said, okay, look, here's what I'm going to do. I am going to part the Red Sea, and then I'm going to raise 87 people from the dead right in front of you, and then I'm going to levitate that pew, and then I'm going to float, and then I'm going to do all of these amazing miracles. Don't you think most people would come up and say, man, that guy's a man of God. Look all the stuff that he did. Paul says if he did all those things, but he didn't have God's kind of love, it would be worth nothing. This is why Paul operated freely in the power of God in his life. Paul understood the power behind his passion, the compassion behind his compassion, his passion. And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, he's talking about martyrdom, and I have not charity, it profits me nothing. You know, if you heard a story about a person that allowed themselves to be killed for another person, you would think that would be an expression of love, wouldn't you? Paul says that you can actually do that and not be expressing God's kind of love. God's kind of love. Man, I'm going to preach a sermon here. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, that, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and he that loveth is born of God. You know, you can only love with God's kind of love after you've been born of God.
That is really deep. That means a bunch of people that are operating out there in the world that are not born again, that tell people that they love them, tell their children that they love them, tell their spouses that they love them, tell, they're lying. And I'm not trying to offend anybody. All I'm saying is that the Scripture says that love is of God, and he that loveth is born of God. He that's not born of God does not have love. That's important. That's really important. That'll put a whole nix on what is a real marriage. God's the one that defines love. God's the one that defines marriage. God's the one that defines family. God's the one that defines relationships. God, he created them. He defines them. Man, that's important. Oh, that is really important. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor and give my body to be burned and have not God's kind of love, it doesn't profit me anything. So he goes through this entire chapter talking about the love of God. And then he gets to the first verse of chapter 14. Follow after charity, God's kind of love, and desire spiritual gifts. Follow after God's kind of love. Chase it. Pursue it. Be in hot pursuit of God's kind of love. And desire that you can manifest God's kind of love through the gifts of the Spirit into people's lives. This is really important. Creation is groaning and travailing for you to get this revelation. Matthew 9:36. But when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. He had passion and compassion moving him. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. This is how Jesus Christ's evangelistic association operated in the power of God. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. So what did he do? He solved the problem. That's what the compassion of God with the passion of God will produce in the environment. Matthew 14:14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. You want to manifest the healing of the sick in your life, in your hands? Then love them. If you're going to go lay hands on the sick just because you want to see a twinkle, twinkle little star, God is not going to exalt you that way, beloved. It's His goodness that leads us to repentance. It's not your super cool supernatural works. It's His supernatural works through your humble hands. Oh, praise Jesus. Mark 1:41, and Jesus moved with compassion and put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. And the story there is a leper that says, if you will, you can make me clean. So the question was, if you will, if you have the willingness, I know that you have the ability. This is where most of the church is. If you have the willingness, Lord, I know you have the ability. And so they doubt the willingness of God. But they don't doubt the ability of God. Jesus solved that situation right here. Not only do I have the power, but I have the willingness. And what gave him that willingness? The compassion of God flowing out towards the person asking him. Luke 7:13, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion unto her and said unto her, weep not. And then the very couple next verses was, he raised her son from the dead. The compassion of God for a mother raised her son from the dead. The compassion. He had a passion and a compassion for people around him, and he manifested the love of God in their lives and released the power of the Spirit of God. Matthew 20:34, Mark 6:34. It goes on and on and on. Jesus working in the compassion of God. Luke 15:20. And he arose and came to his father. Talking about the prodigal son. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And that word kissed in the Greek was a repetitive, a perpetual presence.
which means that he kissed and kissed and kissed and kissed and kissed. The compassion of God will motivate you to release the Spirit of God into people's lives around you more than anything ever could. It is time for us to really be Christians and to operate in the love of God that will release the Spirit of God into people's lives. It's time, beloved. It's time. It's time to be changed by a loving God and to exert His love into people's lives. The whole earth, all of creation is groaning and travailing, waiting for you. Passion without tempering of compassion is emotionalism and powerless. Having the passion to do the things of God and having it tempered with compassion gives you the ability and the power to release the Spirit of God into your life, world, and circumstances. Amen? Now, if you have not the Spirit of God, if you have never allowed yourself to be dunked in the Spirit of God, to be completely submerged and immersed in the Spirit of God, tonight is your opportunity. Tonight's your opportunity. The whole earth groans and travails for you to release the Spirit of Christ into it. It is hard for you to understand the love of God without the Spirit of God. Very hard. Because that's one of the things that he does. He says that he will come and expound all the words of Jesus to you. You need the Holy Spirit in your life and to be full of him. Amen? I'm going to pray for you. And if you've never been submerged in the Holy Spirit, I want to make that opportunity for you tonight. And I'm going to be right here. Me and Craig are always the last two people to leave the building. I'll wait as long as you need. Amen? Father, I thank you for these precious people. I thank you that the anointing of God is now hovering over them, that the Spirit of God is now moving over top of them, waiting for the release of God. And so, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I release your word into their lives. I prophesy, I declare over them that they are your passionate people that are manifesting your compassion for their environment. That they are no longer going to ignore the groans and the travails of the creation around them, but they are going to affect them with supernatural power that operates through the absolute purity of the love of Jesus Christ in their life. I thank you so much that you answer this prayer with power and demonstration in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I want to tell you, you need this. If you don't have this, you need this. It's not hard to live the Christian life. It's impossible to live the Christian life without the empowerment of the Spirit. Amen? If you have brought any treasure, your treasure box is open from your heart, from a heart of compassion.